something to you that I read from Spurgeon the other day before we start. It's a verse in Psalm 36, verse 9, where it says, "With thee is the fountain of life." And I'm just going to read a little bit here what he says. "There are times in our spiritual experience when human counsel or sympathy or religious ordinances fail to comfort or help us. Why does our gracious God permit this? Perhaps it's because we've been living too much without him, and therefore he takes away everything upon which we have been in the habit of depending, that he may drive us to himself. It is a blessed thing to live at the fountainhead. And Lord, I thank you this morning that you know how to bring us to that place where we realize everything we need, everything we have, everything, Lord, comes from you. There's nowhere else we can go. And I thank you, Lord, that in you we do have everything. We have life. We have the knowledge of love. We have mercy, Lord. We have grace. We have forgiveness. We have comfort. We have peace. We have joy. We have the ability, Lord, to live out the Christian life and to be dispensers of your love and mercy to those around us. Because you've given us of yourself. You've given us the Holy Spirit so that we can walk in newness of life and be what you desire us to be, Lord. It's all found in you, Lord. But so many times, Lord, we look to other places, we even look to ourselves to somehow muster up and bring forth something only you can do and something only you can produce in us. So I thank you, Lord. You know how to bring us to an end of ourselves. You know us how to bring us to the place the disciples found themselves when they finally realized they needed you. They needed your promise of the Holy Spirit. And they knew it was futile to go and try and do what you've called them to do without it. But yet, Lord, so many times we do it without you. We try to do it in our own strength. We try to muster up something, Lord, that can only come from heaven, from your throne, from your very heart, from your very self. So God, help us. Help me today, Lord. You see, I am in desperate need of you today, Lord. Just say what you want to say today, Lord. Somehow help me to just get out of the way. Be so good. So that you can say what you want to say to us today, Lord. You've already been speaking to me, and I'm so thankful, Lord. You're so kind to me. You're so long-suffering. I'm nothing like you, Lord. And I'm so grateful, Lord, that you're always revealing just how kind and long-suffering you really are, Lord. I don't know what I would do, Lord, if you weren't there the way you are. You know exactly what I need, when, and how. Lord, you are a perfect God. Your love is perfect. And I love you today, Lord. I do. I do. I love you. I can say that. And it's only because you keep showing me your love. I wouldn't know how to say that if you didn't express your love to me continually in so many different ways. So thank you. I'm just so grateful today, Lord. Thank you. Make that real to us today, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to read a prayer to you that one of the Puritan writers wrote. It's a beautiful prayer. It's called A Prayer for Christian Love. It's very real to me today. You ever have a week where you're just like, Lord, I'm just tired of people. I just don't want to see anyone. You know, I'm just tired. I wish I could just go to a secluded island where there's just nobody. I don't want to love. I'm tired of bearing people. I'm just tired of it. You ever feel like that? All right, I'm glad I'm not the only one. So you'll relate to this prayer. You will relate to this. Lord, I thank you that you love the loveless. Lord, it's your will that I love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and that I love my neighbor as myself. Yet I see that in myself, I am not sufficient to do this. Because by nature, there is not a pure, one drop of pure agape love in me. And I find that out, I don't know about you, I find that out very quickly. Because you understand agape love is like no conditions, doesn't matter what people do to you. I mean, you understand, right? Unconditional. Our love typically has conditions with it. Well, I'll love, I'll do this, I'll do if. No, agape is different. Every one of my affections is not always turned towards you. At times, I am still a slave to my carnal lusts. I see that I cannot love you as lovely as you are until I am utterly set free from my sinful self. It's by your grace I'm free and able to serve you. Because I believe you are my God through Christ who shed his blood for me. So you see where the focus is going? Away from me, away from what I can't do, to what he did. Who shed his blood for me. Through him, I am redeemed. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. My best righteousness is like a filthy rag before him. No, it's through his blood. It's through him I am redeemed, and my sins are forgiven. So, Lord, may your spirit draw me nearer to you and to your ways. You alone are the end to all means. If I am not led to you, I'm going to go away empty. In other words, if I go anywhere else, I'm not going to get what I need. I'm going to be left empty. Direct all of my ways by your word. That's such an important statement. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. I don't know where to go, Lord. I don't know what to do, Jesus. Direct my steps according to your word. Direct my ways by your word. Make it the joy of my heart. Lord, help me to love your word. I keep thinking about Psalm 119. I mean, just that whole psalm is a psalm about how to love God's word. It really is. Beautiful psalm. That I may have sweet fellowship with you. That's what we need more than anything. Sweet fellowship with Jesus. Lord, help me to grow in your love. Help me to manifest it to others. Make me more like Jesus in my thoughts, in my actions, so your light can shine before men. Humble me more. Do you see your need for that? Do I see my need to be humbled more? Because really, a good sign that you're not able to love is that you're not humble enough, or I'm not humble enough. Jesus was lowly. Humility sees everyone else more important than me. It's the total opposite, really, of selfishness, which makes everything about me. It's total opposite of what love is, really. He humbled himself. He became obedient, right? Even to death on the cross. Lord, help me to be more humble. Humble me more. Make me meek and lowly at heart. Help me, Lord, to honor and to please you in all things. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that a beautiful prayer? Now I'm going to read from Isaiah 53. And there's one verse in here, and then we're going to go look at the actual crucifixion of Christ. Isaiah chapter 53, starting in verse 1. Who has believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised, he's rejected by men. He's a man of sorrows, he's acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised. We did not esteem him. Or I should say, I could say it this way. We didn't honor him the way we should have. Surely he has bore our griefs, carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We're all sinners. There's none good. There's none that is righteous. None. Every human being is at the same place before God. There's no one that could boast in anything. We're all the same before God. There's no hope for us outside of the mercy of God. There is absolutely nothing we could do to make ourselves righteous before God. All have gone astray. All of us. We need to remember that. We need to never forget that. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. I'm not there. I'm not there. Doesn't take much for this mouth to open and say things I shouldn't. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before its shearers is silent. He opened not his mouth. You want to know what love looks like? There it is. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who will declare his generation? He was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. They made his grave with the wicked, but the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief when you make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He will see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. You understand? There was no other sacrifice that would have been sufficient. It had to be God himself in a human body. That was the only way it could happen. That's why God sent his only son, his only begotten son, Jesus, the perfect sacrifice. That was the only way. He'll see his labor, his soul, and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Lord, I thank you today. You reminded me of that this morning. I have nothing to complain about. Forgive me, God, for not wanting to bear people, not wanting to be long-suffering, not wanting to be kind, wanting to give up on people. God, forgive me. Because you didn't. And if you did, I wouldn't be here. I would be doomed. But you endured the cross, Lord. You endured the suffering. You endured the shame. And through it all, you never retaliated, Lord. You never said a word. You went like a lamb. Is dumb before his shearers, Lord. You didn't open your mouth. And you were innocent. It was my sin that drove you there. And I thank you for reminding me of that today, Lord. I wouldn't know love if I didn't know that. If you didn't reveal that to me, I would not understand love at all. My version of it is so twisted. There's always something in it for me. There was nothing in this for you, Lord. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. It was all for the Father's will. It was all for us. And I thank you for that today, Lord. And I repent, Lord, for my unwillingness at times, Lord, to simply do what you did for me. Please forgive me today, Lord. Please, God, have mercy on me. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he will divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and he made intercession for the transgressors. He made intercession for the transgressors. And I want to look now at the crucifixion and the reality of that verse. He made intercession for the transgressors. I'll read out of Luke. Chapter 23, if you want to turn there. So this is actually now happening. This is Isaiah 53, what we just read being fulfilled. The God of the universe going to the cross for you and I. I'll start in verse, verse 26. Now as they led him away, they laid hold of a certain man, Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming from the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. And a great multitude of the people followed him, and women who also mourned and lamented him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children." So, again, think about how we are when we're bearing our cross. And someone says, "Oh, man, brother, sister, oh, I see how you, yeah, I know, you know, it's hard, but, you know, praise God, I'm going for it." No, Jesus is like totally not even in the midst of what he's going through. You understand he's been flogged. He's had already horrendous things done to him. things that if it was me, everyone would have been wiped out by now. But here he is, as women are weeping, saying, no, don't concern yourself with me. Don't concern yourself with me. Amazing. It's amazing to me. He is amazing. The love of God is amazing. That's why Paul, that's what he prayed. That's what we need to understand. The love of God, that the love of God, that he would reveal it to you, that he would open up your understanding to know the width, the height, the depth, to know the love of Christ, to be rooted and grounded in it. Why would Paul pray that? Because he lived in it. He understood. He never forgot. And that's why Paul was such a loving man and bore things that I look at and I'm like, Lord, help me. I don't have that. To know the, I got to know the love of Christ more. Amazing. Don't think about me. Think about your children. Weep for yourselves. Weep for your children. Because he understood what was coming. For indeed, the days are coming in which they will say, blessed are the barren wombs that never bore and the breasts which never nurse. And they will begin to say on the mountains, fall on us, and the hills cover us. For if they do these things in the greenwood, what will be done in the dry? And there were two other criminals led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and one on the left. And this is the verse I want to focus on. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Amazing. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. It made me think about Stephen in Acts. If you want to turn over there. Chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. Same spirit, same exemplification of love. We're going to see in this man, Stephen. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but he's basically giving truth to the leaders. He's telling them basically what they did. He's basically exposing their guilt, if I could put it that way, which is really what happens when we share the light, when we share the gospel. That's why the nations rage. That's why they don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. And that's what's happening here. And he's going on and on and on. And the more he goes on, the more angry they're getting. Okay? So way down here now, let's see, verse 54. After he basically tells them, you know, you're resisting the whole, you're resisting the truth, you're resisting the mercy of God. You always do. Yeah, he just gave them a whole history how they do that. They've just done it, their whole history. I mean, listen to what he says in verse 51. You stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart and ears. You always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Now, if you just read that, you're like, wow, this guy was like, no mercy there. No. Let's not judge him yet. Because we're to share the truth, but it's really what's the spirit we're in. We are called to share the truth. I mean, otherwise Jesus wouldn't have said, hey, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. If they persecute me, they're going to persecute you. What? because they hate the truth. They hate what I'm telling them. They don't like it because I expose sin. Men who don't love the light, they hate it because it exposes their deeds, right? After that wonderful verses, we all know, John 3:15-16, right? Right? Right after that, it says men hate the light. They love darkness because they love darkness. They don't want their deeds exposed. But yet what we see is, like, they're missing the whole point of it. God so loved the world that he sent his only and begotten son. Right? He didn't send his son to condemn the world. He doesn't expose us to condemn us. It's pure mercy. It's pure love. It's Isaiah 53. It's Jesus hanging on the cross saying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. It's in wrath, God remembering mercy. If they could only see that. And we understand that, right? Because when we see, we're like undone, like, I don't deserve this. I'm guilty. See, when you embrace the light and you understand it was my sin, I'm guilty. Just like in Acts, after Peter's done preaching under the power of the Holy Spirit, and those people, they received it. And it says they were cut to the heart just like them. But the difference was they owned it. That's what repentance is. They owned it. They said, we're guilty. You're right. What do we do? Just repent and receive God's mercy. He loves you. I didn't tell you all that to condemn you. God loves you. He sent his only son because he loves the world. He didn't come to condemn. So here now is kind of the same thing, but they're not hearing. And they're enraged. So it says in verse 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. That's like being that's like really mad. So again, let me help you here, okay? I get mad so easy. I'm ashamed. God's dealing with me today. Guys, I'm just a man. I'm just a man. I have the same struggles you do. I do. I'm just here to point you to him. But I know I'm a pastor, but I'm also a fellow sheep. And I'm just as stubborn. I'm just as stupid at times. I'm serious. The difference for me is, like, this morning when I'm like, everything in me is like, I have nothing. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to see anybody. I don't have an option to stay home. What do we do if I don't come? Right? I mean, I guess God could do whatever he wants to do. But I have to somehow, like, God, you're just going to have to help me. And it's good for me. Again, I'm not complaining. God knows what I need. It's good for me. It helps me to trust him. It helps me to humble myself and say, you know what? Lord, you've helped me before. I know you helped me again, Lord. And thank you, God, even though I don't like this, it's good for me. Then I come in, and, you know, again, we get in our minds like God's mad at me, and I didn't do this, this, and that. And God's just, I just love you. I just love you. Come here. I love you. And then you're like, stop, please. That's our God. That's what he's like, I'm telling you. That's what he's like. So they hear these things. They're cut to the heart. They're gnashing at him with their teeth. Okay? He didn't just hear something that someone said and now he's mad. That's me. You know, or someone said something to me, you know, that I didn't like or whatever. That's me. No, these people are like enraged. They got murder in their heart, okay? But he, here's the key, here it is, being full of the Holy Spirit. This is it. This is the key to everything, people. He being full of the Holy Spirit, meaning full of Jesus, full of the same Spirit that hung on the cross and could somehow say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. When in all rights, he could have just called down legions of angels and wiped us out. And he would have been justified in doing that. We're never justified. Ever. We think we are. No, he was, because he was perfectly innocent. He was pure. But he remembered mercy in wrath, because that's who God is. Being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed into heaven. He saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, the place of power. He's there. He's where he said he would be. He's there. And because he's there, Stephen's full of him. That was the promise. If I go away, I'm going to be at the right hand of the Father. And guess what? I'm still praying for you. And I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to empower you to love like I love. And he said, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice. They stopped their ears and they ran at him with one accord. Now they're like out of their minds. I've seen this in videos of late. People are like out of their minds, enraged. It's scary to watch. It's like there's no reasoning with them. Same here. You're not reasoning at this point. And they cast him out of the city and they stoned him. You should study stoning. It's not a pleasant, it's horrible. Let me just throw a little rock at you and hit you in the head. But then imagine like being surrounded by people and be pummeled until you're dead with big rocks. And it's not quick. You know, hopefully you get hit in the head maybe and get knocked out. But he's alive for a while here. While they're throwing stones on him. They stoned him. Well, I'm sorry. I got to read this. It's important. And the witnesses laid their clothes down at a young man named Saul, who we know later is the Apostle Paul. And he's there, and he's consenting. Yeah, kill him. And they stoned Stephen, and here it is. And as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit, he knelt down. This is just amazing to me. He knelt down and he cried out with a loud voice. What was that like? He screamed it out loud. Lord, don't charge them with this sin. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. God, please don't hold this against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He died. Unbelievable. The The next time you're having a hard time loving someone, read the scriptures I read to you today. Meditate on them. Think about what Jesus has done for you. It'll help you. Trust me. I'm going to finish with this morning. Really just the importance of being full of the Holy Spirit. I think that's how I want to finish today. And I want to encourage you guys to pray. To pray, because that's key in this. To pray in the reality of your need for God and for your need of the Holy Spirit in the hour we're living. And to allow whatever it is in your life that God is using to show you your lack, not to discourage you, not to bemoan yourself and beat yourself, oh, I'm tired of being like this. No, let it drive you to God. Because God, you know, that's what he's doing right now. I can go back to what I read you at the beginning. He's trying to remove all the things in our lives that we keep trying to, like, muster up. If I just do this, if I just do that, if I just go to this person or watch this or do this, I'm going to have what I need. No, you need God. I need God. I simply need the Holy Spirit. That's what happened with the disciples. They finally understood it. When they all failed miserably, when Peter did exactly what Jesus told him he would do. Because Jesus understood the Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. Who here wants to be able to say, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing, when someone is maybe beating the heck out of you? I'm not talking about just saying things. No, they're hitting you. They're punching you in the face. You're laying on the floor and they're kicking you because you're a Christian. Who here wants to be able to say, Lord, don't hold this against them? And maybe while before you're passing out, you're pleading with them to be reconciled with God. Who wants that? Anybody? Okay, if you don't, you got a problem. Okay? I want that. But you know what I realize? I am not going to be able to do that in my own strength, because I see what I do when someone just says something I don't like, or I hear about something, or see something on the GroupMe app. Don't get me started. I saw something on there the other day. It just broke my heart. It's like, what? I'll just stop there. I need a lot of grace. I need the Holy Spirit. Because I don't want to give up on anyone. I want to love you. And I want to love the lost the way I need to be able to. Those people out there that might get real nasty. And if I can't do it with believers, with my wife, with whoever, I'm in trouble. But I don't have to despair. Jesus provided the Holy Spirit. So here's the key, people. Just admit it. Just acknowledge you ain't got it. And keep telling yourself that. Okay? And then get over the promises of God and start believing, and ask God, if you're not, to help your unbelief. Quit looking here, quit looking there, get in your Bible, get in the Word of God, because by hearing the Word of God, that's how your faith is going to increase. Not on YouTube, not on Facebook. I had someone say to me something yesterday that he heard on the radio, and all I said was, dude, you need to stop listening to the radio or whatever. I'm not going to be judged by my sin. That's what I heard on the radio. Really? Get in the Word of God. Look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. Believe his promises. And then simply ask. Jesus made it very simple. Just ask, and he'll give you the Holy Spirit. I begged this morning, and he helped me. I told Rose, I almost said it today. I was almost like, today's one of those days where I feel like I probably shouldn't open my mouth because I'm probably not going to say the right thing. I'm serious, and I was ready to like not say anything today. I'm really being serious with you. If God didn't come to me in the worship time, I don't know what I would have did. I'm just being honest with you. It's like, maybe it's just good I don't say anything. But praise God. I love him so much. He's so faithful. Believe him. That what came to me during the worship, really start believing him. You have the Holy Spirit, but we need to be full of the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit because we get convicted. We know we're wrong. That's the Holy Spirit. But God wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit in such a way that you'll respond right, that the flesh won't always win. And he'll get control of this. Because that's what we're going to need. So I want to encourage you guys this morning, okay? Be full of the Holy Spirit. Do what Paul said in Ephesians. Don't be intoxicated with this world. Don't be drunk with wine, but be full of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're going to need, okay? And so everything we're going through, everything that happens in our lives is to drive us to God, to get our eyes back on him, to know where my help comes from. And that's really what I want to encourage you guys with. And he just did it for me today. You know, so, but tomorrow, Monday, I know what's going to happen. I'm going to wake up and I'm going to hate everyone again. And I'm going to be at the same, God help me. And you know what? He does. So let's believe God. Amen. Let's believe God that he's going to give us what we need. We're going to stand for him this hour. We're going to be able to love. We're going to be able to pray for those that persecute us. We're going to be able to open our mouths and share the truth in love. I believe in that. And I feel like he just encouraged me in that today. So, Lord, I thank you this morning, Lord, for your amazing love. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us, that reveals truth to us. And, Lord, I guess I'll finish with this. I'll pray what Paul prayed for the church, for this church, for those listening. Lord, I pray that you would grant us as your people, especially during this time, Lord, where we see it, the love of many waxing cold. It's happening, and I can see why. Because of lawlessness. But Lord, I pray this morning, God, that you would grant according to the riches of your glory for all of us, for your people, those that are looking to you to be strengthened with might through your spirit in our inner man. Lord, that you would dwell in our hearts through faith. God, get us out. Get us out. So we allow you to dwell in all of your fullness. As we deny ourselves, as we empty ourselves, Lord, take your rightful place. In the inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. It's simply through faith, Lord. It's nothing we can muster up. It's simply believing you. That's all the disciples had to do in that upper room was believe what you said and wait for it. And to ask. And you did it, Lord, and it's no different today. That we would be rooted and grounded in love, that we would be able to comprehend with all the saints, all those that are separated unto you, what is the width, the length, the depth, the height, to know the love of Christ, Lord, to live in the reality of what you did for us. It's effortless to love when we're living in the reality of your love. That we would be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power, his Holy Spirit that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. And God's people said, amen. That means you agree with that. So let's go. Let's believe God for that. Amen. All right. God bless you guys.